The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I actually have the endorsement of former Vice President Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney and Satan. That's next.
The Sith Lord is back.
Like a demon, it rises again.
Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, Satan.
Thank you to Satan for giving me inspiration on how to play this role.
We don't need Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney was dangerous, that war.
The only thing you got to do is just be better than Dick Cheney.
I like to see Dick Cheney.
Do
exposed. He's a liar.
I actually have the endorsement of former Vice President Dick Cheney.
You were part of the Dick Cheney cult that led to hundreds of thousands of innocent Iraqis being killed because of the cult you were in.
Cheney dishonestly made up the idea they had nuclear weapons. Just lied. Why do they want these wars? What is it that they don't like somebody because they don't like the look of their face?
Irrelevant national embarrassments, Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney.
I'm old enough to remember Dick Cheney driving over to the CIA to look over their shoulders to make sure they gave him the intel that he wanted so as to justify the Iraq war.
I actually have the endorsement of former Vice President Dick Cheney.
No apologies, no regrets from former Vice President Dick Cheney for the harsh CIA interrogation techniques.
Under Dick Cheney's tutelage, we got the photographs at Abu Ghraib.
The former Vice President, at one point, signing a waterboard kit.
Cheney, of course, unrepentant. You know what? Go to hell.
I want to talk about a man rotten to his very core, which is in itself a tiny black hole from which no joy or light can escape. The ancient Coptics knew this man as Unhotep, the Dark One, the jagged-toothed forest demon who steals our children. We know him as former Vice President Dick Cheney.
I actually have the endorsement of former Vice President Dick Cheney.
What do you think of Dick Cheney? And people would say, well, I hate everything he stands for.
I am someone fundamentally opposed to the politics of Liz Cheney and her father, Dick Cheney.
That's put together by our friend Tom Elliott at Grabian, pointing out that it wasn't that long ago when Cheney was viewed as Satan. He was compared to the devil. Christian Bale, who accepted an award. I can't remember if it was a Golden Globe or whatever it was, but he thanked Satan. He played the role of Dick Cheney in this Hollywood film. And it was 6 years ago. I mean, just step back. Today on the program, we're gonna try to step back and look at the bigger picture and just some of the mind-blowing events since 9/11. Just in the last 23 or 24 years, it's really hard to believe. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the last show of the work week. Can hardly believe it's already Friday, the preparation day. We're glad you're joining us, though. You can get to the live video stream. You or your friends can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. So, Grabian had the little clip of Kamala from the Tuesday night debate where she was beaming. She's got the endorsement from Satan. That's right. She's happy. Satan is now on her side. Dick Cheney. Remember? Just to paraphrase what one of those commentators said there. I'm old enough to remember when they said Cheney was Satan. Yeah, he was Darth Vader. He was the evil genius behind George W. Bush. Listen, if you want to listen to a little more of the context from Kamala's debate comment. Here's clip 10.
Talk about extreme. I think one of the reasons why in this election, I actually have the endorsement of 200 Republicans who have formerly worked with President Bush, Mitt Romney, and John McCain, including the endorsement of former Vice President Dick Cheney and Congressmember Liz Cheney.
If you remember, then they went on and had this exchange where she said, and also look at some of these former members of Trump's team or Trump's presidency. And then Trump responded back by saying, yeah, all the ones you mentioned, I fired them. You guys don't fire anybody. I mean, this it shows exactly what my father said in Ready for War, the January issue from last year, and then also America Under Attack. All of these forces aligned against Donald Trump, the one coming in the spirit of Jeroboam. There is no, it's not a Republican versus Democrat war anymore. It's Jeroboam and Antiochus. And just before Antiochus came along, you had the Bush-Cheney. You had the Bush-Cheney team, and then you had, right at the start of that presidency, you had 9/11. And right before 9/11, you had the last hour, May 5th, 2001. My father, in a sermon, he said, we're entering into the last hour. I mean, events are going to intensify. And did they ever? Just a few months later, those two towers came down in New York and the Pentagon was attacked and they were going after Congress with another plane. And look at all that has happened since. You know, and Americans, it's easy as you hear from the rest of that montage. We could have played the final 2 minutes as well. It was a pretty long one. But they went on and on about, you know, Cheney's he's the one that lied about the weapons of mass destruction, went into Iraq. But really, really, you know, coming out of 9/11, Americans were ready to respond. And it was Afghanistan first, and then Iraq later. And whether or not there was deceit, I mean, the whole world agreed that Saddam had these, I mean, he was gassing his own people. So however you categorize mass destruction or weapons of mass destruction, there were a lot of madmen over there. But from the beginning, our forecast at thetrumpet.com, at the Trumpet magazine, was that you've got to go after the head of the snake. That would be Iran. That would be the mullahs. That would be the number one state sponsor of terrorism. And we didn't. Instead, we declared war on a tactic, the war on terrorism. We didn't even have an idea of who the enemy was, not clear enough anyway. So there were the years-long operations in Afghanistan. And there's no doubting the fact that many Americans that are now in the MAGA movement, they are war-weary. They're tired of what they call the endless wars. But I would add to that that Americans are tired also of losing. And this comes back to what Herbert Armstrong prophesied decades ago, back in the 1950s even, when he was saying America has won her last war. We've got a chapter, and he was right on that very subject. What better image or footage do you need to show exactly that, what Mr. Armstrong prophesied, then what took place in August of 2021 with America rushing to get out of Afghanistan, even as our servicemen and women were being murdered. And Afghans were clinging to planes, these jumbo jets, trying to get out from underneath the Taliban. Iraq wasn't much better, was it? And now there's hardly any presence in the Middle East, U.S. presence. And look at what happened last year, October 7. You've got the mullahs are still in charge. They still have their proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah. And they carry out Israel's 9/11. Just last year, a year ago. So step back and look at the last 20-some years. Look at what the Bush-Cheney crowd cleared the way for. And not even just Antiochus. You know, after Bush's two terms, in comes the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama, and he is ready to fundamentally transform the United States. And the forces that finally came together to resist against it, they didn't come from the Bush-Cheney wing. They came from the grassroots, Tea Party, MAGA movement, whatever you want to call it. They came in support or to support a man named Donald Trump. I mean, in that way, the Bush-Cheney people, they paved the way not just for Antiochus, but on the other side, put America first, tired of the endless wars. You've got the MAGA movement that cleared the way for Jeroboam as well. It makes me think of Ken Busby's, or I forget his first name. He defended Ken Paxton. Busby, remember the lawyer who said the Bush era in Texas is over. The Cheney era is over as well. And now here are these people, all of these commentators. I mean, Cheney is largely responsible for Rachel Maddow's career in journalism or writing books. It was a feature film in 2018. Listen to this trailer from 2000. It's a 2018 Hollywood movie. I'm not even sure what the title is. Clip 13.
What do you say? I want you to be my VP. I want you. You're my vice.
Well, George, I'm the CEO of a large company. And I have been Secretary of Defense. And I have been White House Chief of Staff. The vice presidency is a mostly symbolic job. Uh-huh. However, if we came to a different understanding, I can handle the more mundane jobs, overseeing bureaucracy, military, energy, and foreign policy.
Yeah, right. I like that.
So there you go. Cheney was the one calling the shots. Cheney was the puppet master. That's what the regime media told us back then. He was the evil genius. He was Darth Vader. He was Satan. He was a liar. He hasn't repented. You heard it in the cold open. And now Kamala's saying proudly, I've got his endorsement. That's how much they hate Donald Trump. Donald Trump was nowhere around at that time. At least not politically. God, again, coming back to America under attack, it says in 2 Kings 14 that God is going to save America, not by the hand of the GOP, not by the hand of the Bush-Cheney wing of the Republican Party, not by the rhinos, not by the establishment, not by the Uniparty, not doesn't even say by MAGA. It says, by the hand of Jeroboam. Now, that January issue of the Trumpet magazine, the Ready for War issue, it's somewhere up here. I'll just show you. If you don't have a subscription to these powerful, powerful articles or these magazines, there's no cost, no obligation. Make sure you call our operators today. You see the 800 number, 1-866-930-3020. And I'll just read you through the intro of this article. January 2023, the battle lines are drawn. The stage is set for one of the most dramatic fulfillments of biblical prophecy we have yet seen in our lifetimes. On the one side of this political battle in America is the Democratic Party and the radical left. But then he says this, there is also, we now know, establishment Republicans. They are joined by the media, both leftist and conservative, and big tech, with the single exception now of Twitter or X. All are arrayed together. It says, on the other side is Donald Trump, virtually alone. How did we get here? It's a good question. How do we get to this point? Who could have predicted this in 2001 or 2003 when the United States was launching its invasion into Iraq? Who could have predicted we'd end up at this point? Well, I'm not saying we had all those predictions down, but we did say we're entering into the last hour, the last moments, the last minutes before Jesus Christ returns to this earth. And Satan, as we now clearly see, has been attacking America relentlessly from within. But your Bible says that the attack from without is what will ultimately bring America down. You know, we've had discussions over the years in our editorial department about it's easy It would be easy for a first-time viewer of this program to say, well, we just pick on the radical Democrats. And we do expose a lot of evil, a lot of corruption, a lot of filth. On the inside, in the swamp, in the deep state. But at the same time, I mean, even going back to the time of Herbert Armstrong's death, and as I was telling the students this morning, I mean, the years under Ronald Reagan, I'm old enough to remember it. It seemed like everything was so smooth. And the economy was humming along, and there was relative peace in the country, and certainly more unity among the races and such than what you see today. And yet, Ronald Reagan, I mean, he's largely credited for, you know, removing that iron fist of communism in Eastern Europe, thus clearing the way for the emergence of a signature prophecy of Herbert Armstrong's, the reemergence, the final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. And then even a lot of the efforts of the U.S. military in the early 2000s, under Bush, under Cheney, whoever was in charge, we'll play along with the movie. It really empowered the head of the snake all the more, because Iran emerged through all of that untouched. And its proxies are still as powerful, stronger, in fact, than they were then. Carrying out another 9/11, another 9/11 times 20, just looking at it to scale for the Jews in Little Israel. Iran, the king of the South, as strong as ever. That's awash in cash at the moment because of the Antiochus movement here in the United States. And of course, we're still waiting for a few final developments with respect to the German-dominated Holy Roman Empire. But that's forming. That is forming right now before our eyes. One of America's traditional enemies. Just look at a little bit of even recent history, modern history. So, I mean, some prominent Republican administrations, Reagan, Bush, have also factored in significantly to many prophecies of God, to the fulfillment of monumental prophetic developments. Well, my father talks about another Republican administration, Jeroboam. Donald Trump, the stage is now set, as he said in that January 2023 Trumpet magazine, for one of the most dramatic fulfillments of biblical prophecy we have yet seen in our lifetimes. I mean, we're at a point where the Dear Leaders Party is welcoming in all of these Bush, Cheney, Romney, McCain Republicans. And those Republicans, for their part, they're fully embracing the communist agenda because they hate Trump that much. They hate MAGA that much. This was Liz Cheney commenting on Kamala Harris's speech. I think I might have played this previously, but it's worth listening to again in this context. She's praising Kamala's speech at the Democrat convention a while back, clip 11.
There is breaking news tonight from the presidential campaign, and though widely anticipated, it still packs a punch. Former Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney, a staunch conservative and daughter of two staunch conservatives from a deep red state, is voting Democratic for president. This is how she explained her decision during remarks today at Duke University in Battleground, North Carolina.
As a conservative, as someone who believes in and cares about the Constitution, I have thought deeply about this. And because of the danger that Donald Trump poses, not only am I not voting for Donald Trump, but I would be voting for Kamala Harris.
You know, just 3 years ago, she was the number three Republican in the House.
So that CNN guy there, that was a different clip than I was thinking. But still, the CNN guy there is saying basically, here's a staunch conservative. You know what this shows? I've been thinking about this for a while. I mean, the Cheneys have come out. This is not like breaking news. The Grabian montage was new as of yesterday. But they've been throwing their support behind the Antiochus movement. I mean, what this shows is that Barack Hussein Obama has not only fundamentally transformed the Democrat Party, I mean, he vowed to transform the United States. And much of that transformation has also taken place within the Republican Party. Yes, I'm talking to you, Mitch McConnell, and all the other rhinos that are in Congress as well. There's some exceptions. Trump has some support, but still, look at the ones in lead positions. Now, as I've said previously on this program as well, Donald Trump, for his part, he's building quite the coalition of Democrats, Republicans, everyone in between. But for the sake of simplicity, it's Antiochus and Jeroboam. It's the communist infiltration or attack on the United States and the republic, the constitutional republic that is the traditional United States of America. That's the war. That's the war we're seeing playing out right now. It's fascinating to watch, particularly when you look at what has happened since my father announced in May of 2001 that we're entering into the last hour. These prophecies are going to accelerate. I think it's just interesting to see how much Barack Obama has fundamentally transformed the Republican Party. All of these forces aligned against Donald Trump. Donald Trump standing virtually alone. So many of these Republicans, whether it's directly before the dear leader or not, they're among the swooners. Now, we've also said, I guess if I qualify everything I'm saying, because there's a lot of prophetic developments that we're seeing, a lot of wrinkles to this. We've also said how that the Antiochus, his power is going to be diminished and pretty soon, in fact. And you can even see it. A staunch conservative. She also just got crushed in her primary not that long ago. Liz Cheney, I mean. And Dick Cheney, you don't hear from him much other than to say he hates Trump. And then, as I've said recently, we're just waiting for George W. Bush to come out. I mean, Sundance has been right on top of this as well, saying there's really no difference between Bush and, you know, the Bush family, the Clintons, the Obamas. Well, they even took a picture together in the COVID year. Everyone but Trump. You see it. You see it. Antiochus and Jeroboam. But look at how many Republicans swoon. They're numbered among the swooners. They swoon before the Antiochus. Anything, anyone but Trump. Doesn't matter what the stance or the position is on abortion, the border, inflation, whatever it is. We'll get behind it as long as we can destroy Trump. As long as we can be part of the movement that eliminates Donald Trump. And they very nearly did on July 13. My father, I've been going through this article for class later today. He was referring to, you know, a time when Israel anciently, or it may have been Judah, I forget, but it's in Isaiah 8. And basically God encouraged his people by saying, look, there's threats approaching, but I will be with you. And that makes all the difference. It just shows you, I mean, if God is behind it, no man can stop it. How hard is it for God to just tilt the head a little bit or to blow a gust of wind into the fairgrounds or to position the big screen on the right this time as opposed to the left in order to save Jeroboam? If God is with you, there's a powerful lesson in this for us individually. We need God with us. We want God to be with us. We're looking at that prophecy later today in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, which speaks of Emmanuel and the meaning of a prophecy, of course, of the Christ child, the child that was born as Jesus Christ, the Son of the Highest, as it says in Luke 1. Well, the meaning of Emmanuel, one of Christ's names, is God with us. Us, human beings. Now in John 1:1, it says God, or the Word was with God. And that same being came in the flesh to dwell with us, to dwell with human beings. And the disciples in the first century, I mean, they just couldn't get over this. They were so excited, just giddy with godly joy. We actually saw him. We handled him. We touched him. We heard him. We spent time with him. The Son of God, God in the flesh. If that God is with you, or if that God has spoken his sure word of prophecy, no man is going to stop that. No man is going to interfere with that. That's why you need to subscribe to the Trumpet Magazine, or request America Under Attack, or request He Was Right, because you have analysis there. All of these world events, all of these events as they're unfolding and how it aligns with Bible prophecy. Again, we can't know every single detail, but God's definitely given us the framework. You add United States and Britain in prophecy to the mix. And what Herbert Armstrong said 60, 70 years ago, that America has won her last war. How did he know? How could he have known back in the 1950s, let's say, what would happen in Iraq for the United States, or what would happen in Afghanistan for the United States? How could we have known back in 2001 when we wrote, even as all, the U.S. was marshaling all these forces to send over to Afghanistan initially, and we were writing at the Trumpet saying, this is not going to end well. You've got to, if you're going to have any kind of success militarily, you've got to go after the head of the snake. The whole operation was misguided from the beginning. And then you step back and kind of analyze all that's happened since, politically, in D.C., in the swamp. It's very clear now. Antiochus and Jeroboam. We had an article at the Trumpet, this is back in 2022, following the midterm elections, and here again, Donald Trump's left for dead, right? Where was the red wave? There's supposed to be a red wave. And then Joe Scarborough, right after the midterms, he came out gloating and talked about how, oh yeah, anyone that Trump endorses, they lose. They're losers. Trump's like a cancer. We've got to root him out. Even a lot of Republicans said this. They all come together. When it's in opposition to Trump, the prominent ones anyway, he's got widespread support among the grassroots, but the prominent ones, they will come out of the woodwork to resist the bad orange man. This is from Sundance back in 2022. I think that Trumpet article I referred to referenced this. But Sundance at Conservative Treehouse says it's just coincidental happenstance, they say. Both George W. Bush and Barack Hussein Obama have scheduled conferences to highlight concerns over disinformation in the wake of the U.S. midterm election. They were really concerned about disinformation. There they are, the three buddies. the the President's Club. Everyone is part of it, except Trump. Trump doesn't count. Just, you know, X45 off of the list. He doesn't count. He must be eliminated. He must be stopped. He won't be number 47. He can't be. This is what they both have been saying. Both sides, I mean. They can find agreement on that for sure. But here they are, concerned about disinformation. Just a couple of years before this photo was taken, you had Democrats and Republicans alike, 51 intel officers, CIA directors, former directors, all signing this document, telling you that Hunter's laptop was Russian disinformation. That, you know, even Joe Biden, the fake president, he was at that debate, remember? He cited the letter. All these intel officers said it's Russian disinformation. He got up and he lied in front of the American people. And then the regime media, they helped to cover up the lie. And now here we are, four years later, another debate. and the regime media, I mean, they have really gone into hyperdrive, particularly over the pets, right? Cats and dogs. Oh, just a total lie. We've got to blow this up. It's disinformation. When the dust settles, you watch. We'll find out the truth about what the Haitians enjoy for some of their holidays, as far as the delicacies are concerned. We've just invited them in, invited their customs, the things they enjoy. They fled an island controlled by basically cannibal gangs, and 20,000 of them, 15 to 20,000 of them, were just shipped over to Springfield, Ohio. And you've got a rhino governor there, a Republican in name only, who's done nothing about it. It's been this way for 3 years. And people have complained. The citizens have gone before city councils. They've called on police recordings. You can hear them saying, yeah, they're taking the ducks from the park. They're beheading them. What is going on? And only this week, after it becomes a national story, does Governor DeWine finally start to do something about it. He comes out with a statement saying how hard it's been for Springfield to absorb 15,000 migrants all at once. Really? Well, that's quite an analysis. You're the governor of the state and have been for years, and you're finally just now coming around to acknowledging that there might be a problem there. You're finally just now sending in reinforcements. People can't walk through parking lots without fear of being mowed down by a Haitian driver. It's happening in the United States of America. It's like I said yesterday. It's becoming a third world city. And the media, they're there to cover it all up. It's not a problem. It's a conspiracy. Look, we'll get 51 intel agents to sign a letter if we have to. They're all one and the same, aren't they? We had an article, this is from April of this year, just to focus on again, why the Jeroboam movement is receiving more support among just ordinary people, not the swamp. This is titled, "The Bush Era of the Republican Party Ends in 2024. Just look back last year. Why would they want to destroy Ken Paxton so viciously? And as we covered on this program, and Busby did a great job as an attorney, it was the Bush people that tried to destroy him in Texas. Not the Democrats, not the Beto O'Rourke people. It was the Bush people. Why would they want to get rid of Ken Paxton? Ken Paxton's out there filing lawsuits to try to prevent cheating in elections. He's out there trying to get behind movements to seal the Texas border at the South. Why would the Bush-Cheney Republicans work so hard to try to destroy this man? They didn't just give way to the Obamas, as we covered in that article in April. The Bush-Cheney people, as you heard from Liz Cheney, they've joined the Obamas. They've joined the Antiochus movement. And you can see why ordinary people are rushing to support not the Bushies, but Donald Trump and MAGA. This is from our Trumpet magazine. How do we get the uniparty? Why are rhinos willing to work with radical Democrats to destroy Trump instead of trying to save America? This exposure of the Bush-dominated Republican Party is part of dramatic Bible prophecies. God wants Americans to see how deep the corrupt sickness is in our leadership. By dismantling the uniparty, God is trying to help America have faith in Him. You see, we need God with us, not a political party. Not the GOP, not a movement politically, but God. And even in saving America by the hand of Jeroboam, God's doing that to give us one last chance to turn to Him in repentance so that He can be with us, so that we can be with Him.
so that we can win battles, so that we can claim victories. It goes through and talks about the Ronald Reagan high watermark for American conservatism. And you know, if you look back at some of that history, Reagan, he selected George H.W. Bush as his VP running mate to try to bring the Republicans together, because there was a deep state back then in the 70s. And George H.W. Bush, he was a deep stater. So he comes along, he joins forces with Reagan, and then, of course, it's H.W. who becomes president in 1989. And George W. is his son. And from Reagan on, except for Trump, I mean, you've basically got uniparty rule following the Reagan years. And then this is what we wrote in the Trumpet. Bush was a member of the D.C. swamp, which made him distinctly different from Reagan. Bush's presidency started the modern uniparty era. There you go. Tomorrow's news today. The GOP became beholden to big business, big industry, and the intelligence community. He talks about the promise H.W. made, you know, no new taxes and so on. And he did. He did raise taxes and probably lost to Clinton in 92 because of it, and because of the Ross-Perot factor. In any event, it says the two families who dominate America's two main political parties work together in business and government, whether it is joint fundraisers for natural disasters or speaking events warning against Trump. They're all together. They're all one. They're a uniparty. It says, in a sense, the Bush family fundamentally transformed the Republican Party. This paved the way for Barack Obama's fundamental transformation of America. Without the uniparty in place, Obama could not have hidden his treasonous intentions. And then you add to all of this, paving the way for MAGA as well. Dick Cheney, he's aligned with the Dear Leader. He says Donald Trump's the greatest threat to the American Republic in history. We referred to this spiked online article a while back. But it said, this is commenting on Liz Cheney's endorsement of the Barack Obama party. We can call it that. It says here, Dick Cheney himself then followed up his daughter's revelation with a statement that could have been written by Harris's campaign. How do you explain this? What a transformation. This man used to be viewed as Satan. They made a Hollywood movie about it 6 years ago. 6 years ago. That's not that long. It says here, since then, since Cheney came out with his statement, elite liberals have fallen over themselves to praise Cheney. I guess now they'll make a movie about how wonderful Cheney is. How courageous he is. How courageous Liz is. It says, for his supposed wisdom, good sense, and all-around decency. Is that the way he's portrayed in that movie in 2018? Christian Bale thanked Satan for the help provided on that script, that movie. It says here, Harris welcomed Cheney's endorsement with her campaign chief saying, she deeply respects his courage to put country over party. CNN's John King praised him as a patriot. Even veteran leftist Bernie Sanders felt moved to applaud the Cheneys for their courage in defending democracy. What does this say about the regime media and all of these politicians? It says, given the kind words heading Cheney's way from America's liberals and leftists, you could be forgiven for thinking that they must be talking about a different Dick Cheney from the one most of us remember. They're refashioning, sound familiar? They've refashioned Dick Cheney into a courageous, bold, wise, discerning, kind, compassionate young man, or old man, I guess. He is old. I think we can all agree on that. That's not a put down. But they, just like they're doing with Kamala at the moment. And just like they've done, look at what they've done with Donald Trump. Before he came down the escalator, they loved him.
And then when he comes down the escalator, they take a 180-degree pivot on a dime. And it's like what they said and did with him before that moment in 2015, it never happened. Yeah, they were never seeking his support, his donation, his friendship. They were all doing that. And then they all shifted, changed, pivoted on a dime. That's what they do. It shows you how, you know, Paul talks in Ephesians 4 about being tossed with every wind of doctrine. Look at how easily Satan, the devil, the real Satan, not Dick Cheney, look at how easily Satan can manipulate and influence the human spirit in man, the mind of man. And what does that say? As far as going back to being with God, if you aren't with God, then you're in a danger zone. We need God for protection. We need God's inspiration. We need God's mind. It's like I've been saying to the students all week. If it's not God in you, it's you in you. And what does God say about you? What does he say about your heart? It's hostile to God and his law. There's a hostility to godly wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We've rejected God. We've rejected his knowledge. And God says when we do that, he's going to reject our children. There's a lot at stake here. We need the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5 says to let it in. Let it in. Let him dwell with us. Read John 14, verse 23 sometime. It's a beautiful verse. If we follow in the steps of Christ, if we are actual doers of the Word of God, it says not just Christ, but God and His Son will come and dwell with us. It's remarkable what man, the human spirit, apart from God, is able to just create out of nothing. A complete and total phony. Which one's real? The Dick Cheney of 2018 or the Dick Cheney of 2024? Who are we to believe? Are we to believe, you know, Chris Hayes today or Chris Hayes from 2018? Do we believe Rachel Maddow's take from 2018 or the one she has today? We need God's perspective. That's what all of this is screaming. I mean, we are in the last hour. And we're seeing all of these prophecies unfold, and they're accelerating the pace of them. And we certainly want to understand these events. And we want to be armed with the mind of God, as 1 Peter 4:1 says. Or else, as I say, we are in a danger zone. Again, from Tuesday's show, this was the other day. The Democrats are wicked, conniving, and horrible. The Republicans are devious, cunning, and deceitful. Those are not actually qualities or characteristics of God. No, no. That's human nature. Under the influence, and in some ways, the strong direction of the God of this world, Satan the devil. The prince of the power of the air, that quotes from Sundance the other day. I read it on Tuesday's show. It says here, both wings of the uniparty are evil, but Democrats attack you straight on while Republicans whisper in your ear to make you kill yourself. I don't know if it's whispers at this stage. I mean, if Dick Cheney releases a statement saying he's the greatest threat to the American Republic in 250 whatever years, who thinks that way? Over a businessman, a real estate tycoon who loves his country, who talks about putting America first. It's not like all of his policies are grand slams. But how could you, if you're just leaving aside all the fakery and the phoniness, how could you listen to Donald Trump and say, yeah, he's definitely, he's Hitler. He's Satan. like Dick Cheney was in 2018? 6 years ago. They're all over the map, aren't they? And there's never an apology. There's never, you know, we got it wrong. In 2006, we did get this wrong on, you know, whatever the topic might be. There's no contrition. There's no repentance. How can God work with attitudes like this? How can God work with this kind of stubbornness? I mean, even in the first century, Stephen was about to get stoned in Acts 7, and he looked at his accusers and said, "You are stubborn and stiff-necked and hard-hearted." I mean, that mob was so enraged, they gnashed their teeth like something you do in your sleep. They gnashed their teeth. They were so full of rage and hatred. And then they ended up stoning him to death. That's human nature. Christ came along and in the Sermon on the Mount said, look, if you're harboring hatred in your heart, that's the murderous spirit. That's the spirit behind murder. Isn't that going to be wonderful when Christ gets back to this earth? He is coming back, by the way. We're awaiting his return. Paul said that to the brethren in 2 Thessalonians 2. We're waiting patiently, eagerly, anxiously. We're praying every day, thy kingdom come. We're asking God to hasten along these prophecies, these spectacular prophecies, dramatic prophecies that culminate in the return of Christ Jesus to this earth, referred to, described in hundreds of prophecies in your Bible. Pray as Jesus told us to pray, thy kingdom come. Pray as Jesus instructed, daily. Pray daily. Study, as Acts 17 says about the Bereans, with a ready mind. I mean, you're just ready. You're a student. You're a disciple. You can't wait. Study with a positive outlook and attitude. Study to prove the truth. Don't go into it all skeptical and negative and questioning. That's the spirit of this age. We need to be people filled with hope and joy and overflowing with it, in fact. And we can if God dwells with us. That's the key. Christ was talking about joy and having full joy just 18 hours or so before his body was shredded and crucified. How is that possible? Well, because he was so close to God in heaven, his Father. He was with the Father right up until the very end. Right up until God finally had to turn away as he became that sin sacrifice. What a demonstration from these two, God the Father and Christ the Son. A demonstration of what it means to live the way of godly, sacrificial love, outflowing concern for the good and welfare of the ones loved, God, the God family, and all of mankind as well. I see the clock. I'm not sure if we have a week in review or the news segment that we reserve for Friday. So we'll take a short break, and then if we have one, we'll play it when we come back. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com.
German Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock traveled to Saudi Arabia last week for her 11th visit to the Middle East since the Gaza war began. On the trip, Baerbock met with the Saudi foreign minister to discuss Houthi attacks on international shipping in the Red Sea, according to a German foreign ministry spokeswoman. Baerbock's other stops included a visit with the Jordanian foreign minister to discuss humanitarian aid for Gaza and a meeting with the Palestinian Authority prime minister in the West Bank. Baerbock also met with Israeli Foreign Minister Israel Katz and Defense Minister Yoav Gallant to discuss a potential ceasefire. This was the German foreign minister's ninth trip to Israel since October 7, 2023. When war between Israel and Hamas began, Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Fleury told readers to watch Germany's role in the crisis. Germany is profoundly concerned with what is happening in the Middle East, particularly regarding Iran, the Red Sea, and the Mediterranean. To learn more, read, "As you watch Gaza, watch Germany." Iran has sent at least 200 short-range ballistic missiles to Russia, according to U.S. and European officials, The Wall Street Journal reported on September 6. Iran has been supplying Russia with drones, but they are slow and easy to shoot down. Ballistic missiles are faster and reach a higher altitude. Officials are concerned about the imminent impact these missiles could have on the war in Ukraine. Iran denied the report on September 6th, but within 48 hours, a member of Iran's parliament essentially admitted the report was accurate. Iran receives soybeans, corn, wheat, and other goods in return for what it sends to Russia, allowing it to skirt U.S. sanctions. Bible prophecy has a lot to say about the developing relationships between powerful Eastern and Middle Eastern nations like Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. To learn more about the prophesied alliances between these powers and where their closeness will lead, read The Contest for World Domination. Germany will set up temporary controls on all 9 of its land borders to limit irregular migration, the German Interior Ministry announced on September 9th. The controls will restrict people traveling into Germany without a visa and will allow officials to refuse migrants directly at the border. These restrictions will be in place for the next 6 months, aiming to curb the increase of threats posed by migration, particularly Islamic extremism. Germany borders 9 European nations that are all part of the Schengen zone, where there are normally no travel restrictions or checks. Under European law, members are only allowed to impose border checks if there is a threat to public policy or internal security. Germany's new controls show how seriously it is taking the threat from immigration and Islam. To learn more about the likely role of the European migrant crisis in end-time prophecy, read Terror Transforms Germany. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
There you go, this week's World Watch segment. We've got about a minute left. I mentioned in the first segment, the long segment, the forces aligned against all of these forces, Republican, Democrat, the regime media, big tech, forces aligned against Donald Trump. But in recent months, as we draw closer to the presidential election, I mean, Donald Trump has been expanding his political tent pretty significantly as well. Sundance commented on the debate just the other night. The winner of the ABC presidential debate was Donald Trump, not because there was anything he needed to say in order to win the debate, but simply because the transparency of the ABC debate bias was too visible to assist Kamala Harris. People can see through it. He talked about just the scathing rebuke that Megyn Kelly gave to those ABC moderators. And then Sundance says this: "It's a little funny to see Megyn Kelly calling out connections between ABC officials and the Harris campaign in this debate when, factually, in 2015, Kelly played the role of Lindsay Davis on behalf of Fox News debate director Bill Salmon." Yeah, Fox wanted to destroy Donald Trump back in 2015. And Megyn Kelly, she opened her debate, or the debate that Donald Trump had with Hillary Clinton, by just launching this attack on Donald Trump. Well, things have changed since then. And Fox News is even beginning to come around as well. Megyn Kelly, she's an independent journalist now. And I don't know if she's a rabid Trump supporter, but she certainly is speaking differently today than she was just 7, 8, 9 years ago. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.